Our first scripture lesson today comes from New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. Early in this chapter, Paul explains to the Corinthians through his letter that without the belief and without the resurrection of Christ, there is no purpose in Christianity. He continues on in this section to talk a little bit more about that, as also about what's coming next. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has raised from the dead the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came upon human being, the resurrection of the dead also came through human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when the hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, and after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power, for there must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
As we prepare to hear our next scripture passage, make sure to cut the mic on. As we prepare to hear our next scripture passage, let me give you the context. On Friday, Jesus was crucified, died. And he was, toward the end of the day, hastily prepared for burial, placed in a tomb, and a big stone was rolled over the entrance. And now, it's Sunday morning, and this is where our scripture lesson begins, reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you that while he was in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day raised again?" Then they remembered his words and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloth by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If by some chance you've missed it, it is Easter Sunday. And I don't know why you've come this morning. Many, if not most of you, have come because this is what you normally do on a Sunday morning. You come to church. You come because you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you come to worship him. And you come so that you might grow in your faith and be encouraged in your faith and equipped to do the work of God. Others of you may come because it's Easter Sunday, and you know that there's going to be great music. And certainly we've seen that so far. Others may come because it's Easter Sunday, and, well, that's what you do on Easter Sunday. You go to church. And perhaps you only come once or twice a year. You know, we in the professional church business, we have a label for you, a title. We call you CEOs. Sounds important, doesn't it? It means Christmas and Easter only. Didn't know you were labeled, did you? But we welcome you here. You may be here to please a parent or a grandparent or a child or a spouse. And that, so I'm sure they're pleased that you're here. I'm pleased that you're here. But maybe, Maybe you came and you don't really know why, but there was something that told you, I need to be at church this morning. And for you, we're glad you're here. And I hope you remember the words I said at the very beginning when I said, whoever you are, and wherever you are on your faith's journey, you're welcome here this morning. And we pray that the transforming love of Jesus might touch your life. For that is our prayer, that we might encounter the risen Christ today. All of us. Pastors are human beings. I know it's hard to believe. But, you know, we have our own things we want to see happen. And I probably shouldn't speak for all pastors, but I know for me, on Easter Sunday, you want to hit that home run sermon. You know, it's the largest crowd of the year, and people are here for different reasons, and you want to do a sermon that hits a home run for everybody here. You want to be able to give something new and exciting for people to hear. But I've been preaching Easter Sundays now for 27 years, I believe. And it's hard to come up with something new after that many years. It's hard to get something exciting to come up to deal with that. It's hard to match the music that's being played today. But that's what the minister wants to do when they preach on Easter Sunday. And as I struggled with that this week because I wasn't coming up with anything new. But as I studied and as I prayed, the thing that kept coming back to me was, keep it simple. Preach the resurrection. Preach the Easter tomb. Because that's what people need to hear. When you read the four Gospels, those are the first four books of the New Testament that talk about the life of Jesus. When you read them, they each tell the resurrection story in a little different way. Matthew, the very first gospel of the New Testament, describes the Roman soldiers being at the tomb. That the Jewish authorities had heard rumors that Jesus had said he would rise up, and so they wanted to prevent the disciples from coming and stealing the body. So they had soldiers there to guard it. Matthew also talks about an earthquake, rolling that stone away from the front of the tomb. Mark is kind of a different bird as far as talking about the resurrection, because in the oldest manuscripts we have of the Gospel of Mark, it ends with the women going to the tomb and hearing the messenger there saying, he's not here. Go and tell the disciples that he is risen. And the gospel ends with the women leaving in terror. We don't know why it ends that way. Maybe that's the way Mark wanted it to end. Maybe he ran out of parchment to write on. And so he had to end it there. Or maybe it was broken off and lost. We're just not sure. But later additions added more to it of Jesus appearing to the disciples. We just read part of Luke's account of the resurrection, where the women went to the tomb, found it empty, the messenger saying he's not here. But remember, he said he wasn't going to be here. He said he'd be rising up. Go tell the disciples. And the disciples thinking they were crazy. But then Peter going and seeing the linens, the burial linens there, but no body. The tomb was empty. The Gospel of John gives us the largest content about the resurrection. Two chapters worth. And in it, Mary Magdalene goes and finds the tomb empty. The messenger's there, telling him not there. She goes and tells the disciples, John and Peter run to the tomb, find it empty, they leave. And then Jesus appears to Mary. And then there are other instances where Jesus appears to his followers. I don't want to try to reconcile how these stories fit in with their differences and such, but what I want to share is that each one of them has the women going to the tomb, that there was a messenger at the tomb who showed them that the tomb was empty and who declared to them that Jesus was risen from the dead. And if Jesus has been risen from the dead, then everything changes. Now, some of you may have a hard time with this, that Jesus was raised up from the dead. I know it's hard to believe. It's no harder to believe today, though, than it was 2,000 years ago. And yet the scriptures are very clear that Jesus was raised up from the dead. That his body was not in a coma, 3 days later he snapped out of the coma. It's not that he was resuscitated back to life and then he would die later again. But that he was brought back to life, and this life was beyond just the mortal life that we know. And it was a whole different kind of living. And because of this, we can have a whole different way to live ourselves. Not everybody buys into this, like I said. Some people have a hard time. My nephew posted a thing that he found on Facebook. And in it, it said, for 1,400 years, Christians have slaughtered in order to make converts, in order to spread their religion. That they make ISIS look like Boy Scouts. And it said, thankfully, we have domesticated our Christians with our secular laws and our secular morals and our freedom or our separation of church and state. And it concluded with, too bad Christians don't know their history. Pretty incriminating. And I think it to be absolutely false. Sure, Christians have done some things that have not been, have done things in Christ's name that have not been good, that have been evil. But overall, Christians have brought about more good in the world than evil. They've brought more positive changes to the world than any other religion. They've done schools and hospitals. They have created social services to help the poor, the downcast, the outcast. They've helped those that need healing. They've been with those who are dying. They have ended slavery. They have empowered women. I don't think my nephew would want to live in a society that had not been touched in some way by Christianity. Because I don't think he would like what he finds there. But because Christ has been raised from the dead, because he has defeated death once and for all, we can have new life. We can have new possibilities in the ways that we live. And what it means, first and foremost, is that we've been forgiven of our sins. We don't like to talk about sins in our country today. You know, we prefer to think of them as shortcomings or character flaws or oops or maybe even trying to find ourselves, what we have to do to find ourselves. But the Bible talks about sin as being destructive,
as breaking relationships and killing us with them and breaking our relationship that we could have with God. But because of the cross, because of the resurrection, our sins are forgiven, and that we have a chance to have a new relationship with God. And then beyond that, we can go out and do things in the name of Christ in the world. So not only are sins forgiven, though, evil has been ultimately defeated. And we don't see that today, for sure. I mean, earlier this week, we had the bombings in Brussels. We see evil in the world. But as Christians, we know that God wins in the end. And because we know that God wins, we can allow our faith to move us into action, to love people unconditionally, to forgive people when they wrong us, to go and help the poor, to help the sick, to help the dying, help those that are in the midst of disaster. You know, we can go out and care for others. I think one of the reasons why my nephew is so anti-Christian is because he's not seeing these Christians in action. What he sees are Christians who are angry, Christians who are judgmental and hateful, Christians who'd rather tell you what they are against than how they are to be about loving others. Perhaps he's thinking of those prosperity preachers who say, you can have it all. You know, it's all about being blessed by God and having everything that your heart desires. But that's not the way Christianity is to work. That's not how we as the people of God are to live. The one verse that we read from 1 Corinthians that really struck me this week was when Paul wrote, if for this life only, Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we of all people are most to be pitied. Christ has not been raised, then we should be pitied. And he writes this to a people who were being persecuted, a people who were being put to death for their faith in Jesus. People who were making extreme sacrifices to follow Christ. And sure, if Christ has not been raised, then they have wasted their lives and they should be pitied. But Paul's saying, but Christ has been raised. And those sacrifices they've made, they are not forgotten. They have not been in vain. I wonder if anyone would pity us today because of our Christian beliefs. If anyone would look at our lives and say, wow, they really have messed up their lives because they believe this Christian stuff. That they believe this Jesus was raised from the dead. Have we made any sacrifices that would make people think, oh, what a waste? Don't get me wrong. I very much appreciate growing up in this country where we have freedom of religion and we're not being persecuted for our faith. I very much like growing up in this country where we have such a high standard of living that even our poor are richer than the majority of the people in the world today. But I wonder if we might be found at fault because we have been so blessed and yet we don't sacrifice on behalf of others. Maybe we are to be pitied, not because we suffer, because we say we believe and we don't suffer or we don't live sacrificially. I want to give you a suggestion, something for you to do. I want to suggest that you go home today or sometime this week. I want you to read the resurrection stories of the four Gospels. They're easy to find. They're in the first four books of the New Testament, and they're the last chapter in each one of those books, except for John, where it's the last two chapters. So there are five chapters. They're short chapters that you can read. It'll probably take you 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes to read. And then I want you to be quiet and prayerful and invite God to speak to you. Now, the temptation will be to quit that after about 5 minutes or less. You know, I've done it. I would suggest that you do it for at least 15 minutes of being quiet and still and listening for that voice from God. It won't be an audible voice, but it'll be something that you hear in your mind or in your spirit or your heart. Listen for what God wants to say. And then do it. Because of the empty tomb, because of Jesus being raised from the dead, we know that God wins in the end. We know that death has been defeated, and that whatever may happen, whatever we may be going through, God is with us. And God has our back, so to speak. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen.